welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Amen. We can just go on and on and on. Praise God. This is good. But it's good to kind of get our roots, our heritage, to understand, you know, where we've come from. And there's so much that we can understand going into our Jewish history and understanding those parallels, because you see that, you know, things don't just happen by happenstance. There's a fulfillment. There's a type and a shadow and a fulfillment. And, you know, as much as we look and see, we still can't see all of it. I mean, when we get to heaven, we'll see the full fulfillment of all those different types and shadows. But praise God for it. It just blesses me. It kind of enriches, encourages, and strengthens your faith as we're going through. So praise God. Let's go ahead, and we're going to start with James chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3 this morning, and take a look at some things that James says that I think are going to hopefully just encourage all of us this morning. First of all, he says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." You know, one of the first incredible things about this passage of Scripture, of course, is just the first verse. You know, this answers a lot of universal philosophical questions if you just understand this verse one right here. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? Really, it comes on the inside, ultimately. You know, society wants to say, well, it's because of nations, it's because of external things. And if we just didn't have these external things, we'd all be beautiful, wonderful, loving, peaceful people. You know, one of my favorite songs growing up was John Lennon's Imagine. All right? There's principles in there that are good as far as a brotherhood of man, of getting along, of not fighting. I mean, who would disagree with that? But you see, the answer to do it, I remember I was just kind of thinking along one day, just kind of singing along, and the Lord said, "Ed, I want you to imagine that. I want you to imagine. Do that. Don't just think about it, imagine it." Okay, there's no more religion. There's no more countries. So, peaceful utopia. And then I'm thinking, oh no. Oh no. I said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I'm going to ruin the whole thing." Because even if I imagine that all the way, there are still desires for pleasure that war in my members. Imagining that stuff away doesn't imagine away the covetousness and the greed and the thing. What it is, it's the fallen condition of man. And so it's one or the other. It's not like we're all perfect and great and it's just this external world. And if it wasn't for this thing, man, my beauty would be shining through. Wrong. No, I don't care. If you could just have your way and politicize and get your way, you'd still have the same problem. Where does it come from? Your desires for pleasure that war in your members. So when Jesus came as Israel's Redeemer and set them free, he was really coming to set them free from those evil desires that war in their members. To set them free on the inside so they weren't in bondage to that. And then regardless of what world they were living in, they'd still be free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. It's not because you live in a certain spot. It's because of what God did on the inside of you through Jesus Christ. There's a freedom that comes there. But he goes on to say, you lust and do not have, you murder, you covet, can obtain, fight war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it upon your pleasures. Now, he's talking to the church here. He's talking to the church. This was not written to sinners. This was written to the church. I mean, just read the whole book, you know, chapter 5. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. He's writing this to the church. Can the church be carnal? Have you been carnal? Yes. So we don't hoity-toity as we look above this and say, oh, this couldn't have been written to the church. Yeah, look in the mirror. It was written to the church. It was written to me and you. It was written to us when we get this way because we forget that there is a God and to pray and to acknowledge him with the issues of our life. This just naturally happens when you're frustrated and you're not getting what you want. You just kind of, you act out. There's a choice, though, here. He says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it upon your pleasures. I can't tell you how many times I've just thought, wow, I've been fighting and warring with something in my life, and I thought, have I prayed about this? You know, I'd be embarrassed to tell you times that I've had to say, wow, I've thought about it a lot, I've talked to people about it a lot, but have I really stopped and on purpose prayed and asked God about this? And he beautifully points out here kind of two ditches. On one ditch, you don't have because you don't ask. And the other ditch, you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it upon your pleasures. So in the two ditches, there's nothing there. Either because you're not asking or because you're asking amiss in some to feed some kind of probably a desire in your member for pleasure. All right? So there is a no asking and asking amiss. This morning, the title of my message is simply Questions About Asking God. Because I get this a lot, especially being a pastor and getting prayer requests and confusion over prayer requests. A lot of times, you know, people will kind of, maybe they'll try to ask God for stuff and they don't get an answer to prayer and they think, okay, well, I'm asking amiss. I'm just trying to spend it on my pleasure. Maybe God didn't want me to do that. And so you get a few unanswered prayers and you kind of get the analysis of paralysis and then you just don't pray anymore. Because I don't want that rejection, so I'm going to stay over here. I'm just not going to pray at all. I'm not going to ask at all. So you have not because you ask not. Well, why aren't you asking? Maybe you tried to ask and something didn't go right. And so now you're just not asking. Play it safe. Both of these are areas of error. And what we want to do this morning is we're going to go down the middle of the road and we're going to find out what the Word of God says about asking. You know, a lot of things can be characterized. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you kind of follow media or politics or things like that, you can see how things will be spun, you know, in different things. They'll be depicted in a certain light, and you can kind of tell where somebody's coming from, where their orientation is coming from, by the way they put in phrase and word things. A lot of times people can do that with Bible subjects too, and this is a popular one to do it with, asking God. And this morning, we want to kind of get all the spin out and the different things and kind of put it into an objective look at what does the Bible just say about it? What does the Bible say about asking? So questions about asking God. Question number one, is it okay to ask? Is it okay to ask? Let's just take a look at a few verses here. Start out. This is what Jesus said in regards to asking. Is it okay? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus seems to be very pro-asking, very excited about it. Ask, seek, knock. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. This isn't a cable faith preacher that you're mad at. This is Jesus. He is saying it. Remember before he ascended, he told his disciples, you know, all the things that I've instructed, be sure to tell. You know, tell my followers, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus, you will find, was the strongest faith preacher there ever was. Ask, seek, knock. Put it on the line. He does that. Jesus, the one who says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That same one says, trust me. Put it on the line. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus is not in any way here shunning asking God. Matthew 18, 19 through 20 says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." All right? John 16. "And in that day," which is really this day we're living in, "and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Wow. Not only is he saying, is it good to ask, and emphatic about asking, but he's attaching something to it. Your joy being full. You know, one of the greatest experiences in answered prayer is not even the answer you get to the prayer. It's just the joy of the answered prayer. Wow. God really is there. He really does hear me. He really, you know, I'm telling you, there are a lifetime of evidences of the reality of God as you begin to pray and ask and receive. And it's like, wow, he did this and this and this. He is faithful. That your joy may be full. This is what, you know, something the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Amplified says, "Don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition," which means definite request, "with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God." That's what the Apostle Paul is saying, all right, which really corroborates what Jesus also said. And then finally, let's take a look at a proverb here. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Praise God. We should just be the most asking people in the world. It should almost just get to be instinctive, where you're just asking, 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 asking. You know, sometimes if you're struggling with, should I ask God about this? You got to ask yourself another question. What is it that God wants you to keep to yourself? What is it that God doesn't want to have anything to do with in your life? Nothing. Nothing. There is nothing. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Sometimes politically, you'll get talked out of asking God for stuff. You ask God about everything. Everything. The separation of church and state is not a separation between you and Jesus. In all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he directs your paths. He's the Lord of all lords. He's the King of all kings. And he's your Lord, and he's your King. And when this existence, which is a vapor, is done and is a distant memory, all we know is the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. That's all we know. In the meantime, the King of all kings, Lord of all lords, yes, I ask everything. I'm totally free. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. My fear of the Lord is greater than my fear of man. I'm more concerned about not including the Lord in on something than worrying about somebody being offended about my relationship with God. You know, you don't have to give up your prayer life because an atheist is offended that you pray to God. You don't have to cater around an unbeliever deal to be right with God. We're talking two sets of rules. The authority that we live by is by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is our authority. This is what I live by. This says in all my ways to acknowledge him, I will. There are people who've done this and have gotten killed, martyred, and they were right. Martyred some horrible ways, and the Bible says, of whom the world wasn't worthy. And they stuck to this. They're going to be judged, yes, by what they did. In their heart toward God. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Is it okay to ask? Absolutely. There is nothing that's off limits. There's no little intricate, intimate crack in your life or wherever that you think that that's off limits to God. I'll tell you what, if you have one of those, What's the characteristic of Satan more than anything? He's subtle. Wherever that chink in your armor is, and you won't talk to God about it, there's somebody who will talk to you about it. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. No way. Yep, I'm asking. There's nothing that's going on in my heart and my mind right now that I cannot turn into. No anxious thought in my heart or mind that I cannot turn into a definite request with thanksgiving. And let it be made known unto God. It is very scripturally difficult to get around the fact that God absolutely loves, enjoys, invites us to be askers. He wants us to. Okay? So again, I know stuff happens over here. Stuff has happened over here to me too. Have you ever had prayers? Yes, I have. Has it caused you to kind of get over here and put up? Yes, I'm talking to myself. I understand it. I get it. I'm not talking down. I'm just saying I've walked through this journey with you. But you know, you walk through this journey and you get it all figured out and you got people that feels in your group and the word just still stays there. It just still says, ask, seek, knock. Okay, here I go again. No matter my little journey and things that I go through, the word is still the word. And you know, you can get comfortable in a little complacent place, but God's going to keep you in a place of faith, keep you in a place of asking, keep you in a place of trusting. And a lot of times it's subtle. We don't even realize it. Like I said, you know, some stuff that we live on top of. Man, the first thing I start to ask myself, have I asked about this? Even if it's just asking, even if I don't know how or what to ask, just ask for wisdom on how to ask. Just give me wisdom, Lord. Just show me the next step in this mess. You know? So asking. Very important to realize that. Again, sometimes, you know, people have had the mentality, I don't want to bother the Lord. Yeah. Well, if you just stop and think about all the stuff he's keeping track of right now, your to-do list is not going to break his back, right? I mean, whatever it is, it's an amazing thing. So realize that he is there, he's available, he wants us to ask. All right, here it kind of gets down to some of the more nitty-gritty stuff, we'll say, in questions about asking God. And that is, what can you ask for? What can you ask for? We've already seen that it is possible to ask amiss, that you may spend things on your own desire for your own glory or something for your own pleasure, right? It is possible to ask amiss. And we do see an example here in the scriptures of where there is an asking amiss. All right, now you got to remember, we read those scriptures in Matthew chapter 18 where Jesus said, hey, two of you agree on earth, anything, touching anything, they'll have it. You know, whatever they're asking for. It was right back here in Matthew 18. Two of you agree concerning anything to ask, it'll be done for them by Father in heaven. Well, that sounds like a blank check, right? And so two chapters later here, we're going to test that blank check. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her two sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? They said to him, we are able. And he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Wow. And if you go on reading, you'll find out that the other disciples were not thrilled with this prayer request at all. Is it possible to ask amiss and to try to spiritualize it in really in a way in a motive that is really about your own self-exaltation? Is it possible? I'm just saying, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. Is it possible for me and you to do that? Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Remember, God isn't listening to the eloquence of the prayer request. He's looking at the motive of your heart. And so he's kind of looking at the motive of the heart and saying, look, yeah, you're going to go through some stuff, but it's my Father who's prepared that stuff. So we got to realize that when Jesus said, whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you pray, that there are some conditions around that, okay? It's like, you know, because if that was true, Satan would say, I'll exalt my throne above God. You know, no, you're not going to do that. There's just some things that you've got to understand here. And so there is a ditch when it comes to that. Could you ask for things, for desires that war on your members that'll make you look good and make people respect you and look up to you? Can you have a desire for stuff and the motive is that? Is it possible for all of us to have done that maybe? Yeah, it's possible. But does that mean that we should just shut down and stop this prayer thing? Not at all. Not at all. In fact, I've been over here, and even when my heart's wrong, the Holy Spirit can correct you and say, you know what? They were corrected, and they still drank the cup that Jesus did. They went on to do amazing things for God. It wasn't shame on them, and they lost their spot forever. Not at all. Me and you don't lose our spot either. In fact, you find out some stuff about yourself over here, and thank God you do. Wow, I've got flesh too. You go, okay, let me rephrase that. Praise God. Lord, you know, if that's something that you want me to have, if that's something that, you know, then you can kind of show me in your way, your time, if there's some motive issues going on there. And sometimes you'll work through some motive issues in the secret place between you and God, right? So praise God for that. We've experienced that. But there we see some really wonderful, I think 1 John 5 really spells it out well in terms of just kind of getting the big picture of what we can ask for. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. There's a beautiful picture of balance to the whatsoever. That if we ask according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Another wonderful scripture, which is, I kind of see it as a companion scripture to this. It's actually in Peter. But I think it further expounds that thought, because the next question is, what is his will? What is his will? And this is kind of where we get into the different theological battles over that. We'll kind of get into that in just a little bit. But first, Second Peter, one says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power, get this, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, we're kind of defining the scope of what we can ask. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That thing that wars in your members. There's something that's causing you to escape that. In other words, it's not just getting what I want. It's setting me free from the thing that was holding me and wig-wagging me, being a puppeteer of my flesh. And all of a sudden, those strings are getting broken through something, through the power that's contained in knowledge. And this is what I want to see. Verse 3, his divine power has been given to us through knowledge. All right? Through the knowledge has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So what you can think of, God's supernatural power. Paul prayed, I just pray you guys get a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward you as a believer. There is power plant in God that's working toward you. And that power has been captured in knowledge. And that knowledge has been further captured into exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. In other words, what we can ask for, what's, we'll say, legal, in bounds, in scope, the will of God, is contained in the Word of God. This is why it's a big deal to continue to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. Because when you know what belongs to you in the Word of God, there's an authority you have. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was resisting the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He didn't say, get away from me, I'm Jesus. Don't you know who I am? No, he said, the Word of God is what gives me the authority to resist you. There is authority in these words. There's power in these words. There is power that's been vested in knowledge. It's been invested into promises that we have, these exceedingly great and precious promises. When you begin to pray, what can I pray for? You can pray for what's in line with these exceedingly great and precious promises. There's authority in these promises that you can stand on in prayer that belongs to you. When you begin to read the Word of God, I mean, you can just kind of, you can be reading through, you know, in James chapter 1, you see that there is the promise of wisdom. Does anyone lack wisdom? Anyone lack wisdom? Let them ask of God, who gives liberally to all and doesn't withhold, and it will be given to him. You move over to James chapter 5. Is any sick among you?
Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. These are some things that we see in the Word of God. Some things very specific. Now, again, people have different theological persuasions. We'll use the, throw out a big word, dispensationally. Okay? There are people who believe that when the last apostle died, that all the supernatural things came to an end. And so that there's really no more need even to even try to ask God for anything that's supernatural, because that died with the last apostle. That when the scripture had closed its canon on the supernatural word of the New Testament, then everything stopped with it. Okay? I don't believe that. I can't find scripture to prove that. The arguments I've seen are so weak, I could never in my heart, you know, hold on to it. Why? Because we still need the power of God. I mean, just because the scripture was closed in terms of the New Testament, that doesn't mean that the Spirit of God has done. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to lead and guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. Ever. Not till the closing of the canon of the scripture. Forever. The gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God. They needed them then. We need them now. Thank God for it. People can have different beliefs over the scope of what I can pray for because of that. I throw that out there just so you can understand where some people are coming from. Door of life, oh my goodness. We are so thankful that we have got the ability to go into this word and not have to X out anything in this word of God. Not at all. It's not like, you know, I X out, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I can read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and then have to X out 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but great resurrection chapter 15. No, it's all unXed. It's all opened. It's all there. It's all New Testament covenant. It's all New Testament revelation to the church. Praise God. So when I'm talking this morning about what you can pray for, I'm talking about it from that context. Praise God. Now, why do people change their dispensation theology? You get over here a few times, you get a few unanswered prayers. Maybe it all did pass away with the last apostle. You just got to be sure. I'll maybe hit you and go a little bit, but just be sure, whatever your dispensational theology is, not based on because of something that happened over here. Make sure you can go to the Word of God and be very satisfied in your spirit why you believe what you believe about what you can pray for today. I believe that we can pray for anything that pertains to life and godliness through those exceedingly great and precious promises, and that all those promises of God are in him are yes and amen, and not one of them has passed away. That's what we believe. It's full on, all out. Praise God. Satan didn't have any of his little toys put away when the last apostle died. He's got all his fiery darts and stuff that he ever had. So, yeah, I don't think God's decided to cause us to have to fight with one hand tied behind our back either. I believe he put him in the earth so that we could do battle with him and have full-on weapons of our warfare. Now, to say, oh, man, too bad that was retired in 90 A.D. I could really use that right now. No, I can. I can, praise God, use the weapons of my warfare. They're given to me by God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, too. I remember when I kind of first heard about this, I came into salvation and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as part of a non-denominational Pentecostal-type church like this, charismatic, whatever you want to say. And I remember the first time I was actually in youth group, and my pastor just kind of talking about the promises of God and claiming the promises of God. And the first time I heard that, I just never heard that before. And so for me, just didn't know ignorance. I was taken back by that. What do you mean promises of God? Like, you're holding God? You got God over a barrel for your little promise? I mean, the first time I heard that, again, ignorance of the scriptures, I didn't know a lot of the Bible, okay? I'm just kind of listening almost with a spiritual political ear and thinking, man, that just doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound very humble to me. You know, it's like God, you know, I've heard it phrased before this too. I didn't think of it at the time, but I've heard it since phrased by people who kind of thought, God's your little cosmic bellhop, and you got the whip, and you're telling him what to do. I didn't kind of think of it like that. I kind of almost thought, like, you know, you're kind of this spoiled little child, and you feel entitled, and you're, gimme, 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 gimme. God, you promise, you promise, you promise. That was kind of my first reaction when I heard that. Again, I really didn't understand some things. But I'll tell you what, and I understand how it's depicted like that. I understand how it's colored like that. I understand that picture. But when you start living for God for a while, you realize that believing for God for healing or for provision isn't about some little gimme, gimme, whiny, whiny thing. You realize that you're a born-again child of God living on a cursed planet full of demon spirits, fighting your own flesh, and your goal is to get the will of God done on the earth as it is in heaven. And all of a sudden, you're attacked in your body. And it's not, no, you are fighting. You're fighting for the right to live, fighting for the right to live out your days, to do the will of God in the earth. And it's a fight, and you're holding on to it. And you can color it however you want to. I'm going to stand before God with the motive of my heart. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. The Bible says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You've been bought with a price. He bought this thing. It belongs to him. And I'm going to fight for my health. I'm going to fight for the provision that I need. I'm going to fight for relationships. I'm going to fight for those things. Not with a sense of guilt or an entitlement. Not at all. This is a fight of faith. And I'm not going to get talked out of it. You got voices in the world. I mean, just look at the depression in the world, in the church, and all the stuff. Why do we? Because there's such loud voices. Satan's going about as a roaring lion. No, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. I am. I'm sorry if that looks prideful. It's the most humble thing you can do, is to fight for who you are. The word that gets so much attention is claim. But you know what? It's a great word. I claim what belongs to me. I claim those exceedingly great and precious promises because they were written there for me. I claim it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm not listening to the theological people over my ear. I'm looking at a devil who wants to take me out. I claim it in Jesus' name. I claim that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I claim that. This isn't about looking good and sounding spiritual. This is about a real spiritual warfare, and you got a decision to make. God's given you his word. He's given you his word. And there are going to be some battles. There are going to be some naming. This was kind of one of the passages of scripture I think the Lord used to kind of help set me free from myself a little bit. I mean, I'd always say, hey, I just seek his face. I don't seek his hand. Well, it's good to seek his face. We need to seek his face. We should be looking unto him. But you know, the Syrophoenician woman sought his hand. The woman with the issue of blood sought his hand to heal. The guy with the crazy four friends who let him down, and the lame man. Blind Bartimaeus sought his hand to heal. Sometimes you got to humble yourself and seek his hand to receive what you need from him. Again, you got to get past all the media spin of what's really humble and what's really proud. Peter kind of got caught in this trap. It says, after that, he poured out water. Jesus just, washing his disciples' feet. Jesus poured out water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, began to wipe them with the towel, which was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, why are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Then Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. That's a humble man, isn't it? I'm sure he was just expecting, wow, Peter, I haven't heard such humility in all Israel. You're amazing. Wow, he's waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. Wait for it. All right, you're going to get it. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, don't wash my feet only, but wash my hands and my head. Of course, he only needed his feet washed. What's the point here? If you're putting your heart and your faith and your spirituality on that, by what sounds humble and what sounds spiritual, you better reorientate it. God designed his word and faith in such a way that it cuts through all the religious junk and looking good and sounding good and trying to walk in faith and look cool all at the same time. You're going to have to let go of the looking cool all at the same time part. And this is just something, I'm talking about me and I'm walking through this. I'm not, again, talking down. I've had to do this. I get it, all right? I got to come back to faith in God, and God will bring me back to a place and say, Lord, that's where I started out with. Yeah, yeah, that's where you started out. I've been trying to get you back here for a while. Simple faith in God. getting out of the boat and walking on the water. That's what I so loved about Peter when he was in the boat. And he said, he's looking at Jesus walking on the water. That's something pretty supernatural. He's saying, wow, Lord, he said, if that's you, bid me come. What did he want to know? He wanted to know, is it the will of God? He wasn't just going to walk on the water, to his credit. He found out if it was the will of God first. He said, if that's you, bid me come. This is the same thing while we're in our boats that we have to do with maybe some of the controversial subjects, whether it is healing or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or God's desire to prosper. You know what we need to do? We need to get into those good and precious promises and begin to look at those promises and begin to pray out some of those promises and say, Lord, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today, if it is from you, if it is something you want me to have, if this is a divine language that really is God, it's not of the devil, and it's going to further cause me to walk in places of intimacy with you, bid me come. Lord, if healing really is for you, I know what happened to this person, I know what's happened in my own life, but should I really believe you? Do I want to get my hopes up? Healing? Lord, if that is you, bid me come. That was between Peter and Jesus. You can preach healing, and I can do it, certainly, and do. But there's a point, if you're going to get out of the boat, where it's going to be between you and the Lord. Say, Lord, if that is you, you really want to be involved in my finances, bid me come. What can you ask for? Well, there's a large scope. But there's a personal side to it too, isn't there? There's a point where you have to go, okay, Lord, is that you? Bid me come. What's your next step going to be then? You're going to walk on water. You're getting ready to walk on water. You're getting ready to stop walking by sight as it relates to your healing, as it relates to your finances. You're going to begin to walk on water, on the word, on the promise of God, something that's invisible to the natural eye, but it's not invisible in the spirit. It's very sure. Again, the promises of God in him are yes and amen. So these are things that we're walking on. And again, we've got other books we've distributed earlier last fall. We can get more. If you don't have one, you would like one, there's a great book, Precious Bible Promises. Is that what it's called? Prayers That Avail Much. You know, that's really the one I love, too. Prayers That Avail Much. Because Prayers That Avail Much take the promises already, and they kind of create a tapestry of prayer for each area that you'd want to pray about. And so Jermaine Copeland has done a beautiful job in creating this little book. And it's not to replace your prayer life. It's just like training wheels. It's just like to get you learning how to pray in line with the Word of God. It's Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland. And a great tool to begin to find out what's in the Word of God and to see it divided and begin to pray it out. So, praise God. Then finally, here's my other final question that I just want to ask. Is it okay to ask in faith? All right? Okay, I know I can ask God for stuff. It's hard to get away from that. I mean, I know that I can ask, and I know that I can ask God for things, but the last one I just want to touch on is, can I ask in faith? What do I mean asking in faith? This is what I mean. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believing. Ask in faith. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will, future tense, have them. Again, this is probably one of the areas that gets a lot of flack when it comes to asking God and praying and believing. Is it scriptural to believe you receive before you have it? Yes, it is. It absolutely is. In fact, that's what the Bible calls faith. And if you've got it, you've got it. But when you're believing, you're trusting. In other words, the Apostle Peter, when he stepped out of that boat, he couldn't explain why that water was going to hold up. He just did it in faith. He didn't know. It hadn't happened yet. He moved before anything held up underneath him. But you have faith. You trust that God is going to come, make it come to pass. James 1 again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach. It'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith. There it is again. No doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Don't look at this through the eyes of political correctness, spiritual political correctness, and who you're going to offend. You got to look at this as the Word of God talking to you. And it's talked to me over here. And I've had the Lord say, yes, Ed, you're growing in faith. You're growing in faith. Can you be corrected? At times, I'm standing and I'm believing, and something's not coming to pass. Well, I'm going to still stand. I'm still believing. I'm still standing in faith. But you know what? I've learned some things over here. And I've had to make some adjustments over here. There are some things that God will, as you're tossed to and fro. It's not like you just go from, you know, I'm a mess. I prayed a prayer, and now I'm faith man, and nothing moves me. When Peter got out of that boat, he was walking on the water. Pretty amazing. If it's, bid me come, Lord. If that's you, bid me come. And it was the Lord, and he bid him come, and he did come, and he's walking on water. Supernatural. But then he saw something. What Peter refers to. Of course, they were natural waves that he saw. Natural waves and wind. And as a fisherman, he connected the dots. When Satan goes about as a roaring lion, he knows what waves to make in your life that'll connect the dots to get you sinking, right? And when he got Peter began to sink. He held him up. He didn't say, oh, great job, Peter. Look how far you made it from the boat. He said, Why did you doubt? Was it the will of God for Peter to walk on the water all the way to Jesus? Did it work? No. It worked when he started out, but then he got in unbelief, and then he sank. In other words, Peter can learn something. When you're over here, not only do you learn about, as you're growing in faith, we got to look, get hard theological lines. You're living, you're working out your salvation. You get over here, and you can find yourself asking to miss on stuff. And God will correct the motives of your heart. You can also find unbelief over here sometimes. And you can find some things that, you know what, I'm not really trusting God. God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting, that's water I'm walking on. That's water I'm walking on. Not part water, part me. It's water. Childlike faith. In this place, he can do wonderful things. This is not a place to establish theology, especially dispensational theology. This is a place to learn and grow and let the Holy Ghost make adjustments in you and me because we need it. And thank God for the people that stay here and are willing to get corrected and make adjustments, and they grow and they learn and they stay with it and they stand with it and they get some breakthroughs in their life. And they know God lives and still works through faith today. Thank God for those places where I can be challenged and changed and humble myself under his mighty hand and say, I don't care, I'm not, yes, Lord, whatever you say, I'm willing to change. I want it real. I'm not playing games. I'm not patty caking a faith game. This is real. The enemy is real. Those fiery darts are real. That shield of faith is real. And I'll tell you over here, before you get the answer to your prayer, there's a lot of good stuff going on. There's a lot of good stuff going on in you. There's a lot of tremendous opportunities that you're further humbling yourself under his mighty hand and he's changing you. You go, wow, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Man, I'm finding myself, Lord, I just like need to be saturated in your presence. Yeah. I believe. Don't tell me I don't believe. And you realize God is leading you into more of his presence and more. Man, you look at the stuff that's warring against you, you're finding more ways to keep your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. You're finding more ways to stay spiritually minded so the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can make you free from the law of sin and death. Whether it's something in your body or something that's captivating your soul, it breaks the power of the law of sin and death. And sometimes as you're staying in here, it's not unbelief because you're not just thinking of it just right. Unbelief is because our mind is preoccupied with stuff that's not faith. And so in this place of process, while we're receiving, there's a transforming by the renewing of our mind that's also going on as you begin to walk in that place of faith. And if you kind of skip that and throw that out, I prayed and then, why didn't it? Okay, well, here's my theology. No, you got to take the whole Bible. You're going to get corrected in the secret place. You're going to get changed in the secret place. And thank God for it. You know why? Because he's the Lord of your life. He's the Lord of every thought you take into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And when that's not just theology, when that's a living truth, it'll begin to transform you. by the renewing of your mind. And the faith games are done. I don't care who says or he says, this is me and God. Peter, if that's you, Lord, bid me come. He wasn't even looking at the disciples. When you're bidding the Lord on something, it's between you and him. Yes, there's going to be waves. Yes, there's going to be wind. And I'm going to learn to look away from the waves here. I'm going to learn to not care about the wind. Was it Smith Wigglesworth who said, I'm not moved by what I see, I'm not moved by what I feel, I'm moved by what I believe. You know, that's a powerful statement, but that truth becomes truth over time as you're casting down those windy imaginations and bringing those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What am I saying? I'm saying that you pray in faith. Yes, it's all right to pray in faith. And to realize that from the time you're praying to the time it's realized, you're believing, you receive. And in that little phrase of believe that you receive, there's a lot of good stuff going on. You're growing in faith. You're fighting the fight of faith. You're humbling yourself. You're learning. You're growing. You're becoming more God-aware. You're spending more time in the Spirit, forgiving a lot, showing mercy, grace, doing things, and just keeping a humble heart. Praise God. And all of a sudden, those scriptures in the New Testament, reading the Word. I'm telling you what, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That unbelief, again, it's not just, I'm not just striving, I'm believing. No, it's just a lot of times coming before Him, you who are heavy laden and finding rest for yourselves and letting Him refresh you with the Word of God and healing and just basking in it or whatever it is. But there's a peace, there's a process piece that goes on there, you know, as you receive. And 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence, assurance, boldness that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, make requests according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to us. And since we positively know that He listens to us, whatever we ask, we know with settled absolute knowledge that we have granted for us as our present possessions the request made of Him. Now, I want to say one thing here before I close this out and close this point. Because I'll tell you, for me personally, this has been one of the struggles that I've had as I have endeavored to grow in faith and walk in faith. Faith. Is it something I feel? Is it something I perceive? Is it something da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Especially when you're starting. This is what I found. When I pray and ask God for something specifically, and I'm over here, I haven't seen it yet. There's some things that are going on. Lord, I'm standing. This is where confession comes out. What is a confession of faith? It's basically where you're staying with and holding fast the faith in God. What I've prayed, I believe, I receive. It's the way I believe, I receive. It's by declaring what the Word of God says. Okay? Now, when I'm over here, and I'm getting stuff worked in and worked out of me, I find that when I get it, I see it. I knew it theologically, but you begin to see something. The eyes of your understanding get enlightened, and you know the power that works toward you as a believer. And all the political gameship is done. It's me and Jesus, and I'm exhorting authority in something I see. It's like a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him begins to happen as I'm moving from here to here, as I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. These aren't just concepts, and so-and-so thinks this, and so-and-so thinks that. What happened to so-and-so? That's all out the door. You're walking with God, and you're seeing something about that exceeding great power that works toward you as a believer, and you see it, and you believe it, and you thank God, and you declare it. But let me say something, the final thing that I wanted to say about this. Getting from here to here, there's a scripture that says, don't be weary in well-doing. You'll reap in due season if you faint not. Peter fainted, right? He didn't get all the way to Jesus. Thank God Jesus saved him. He saves us when we faint. Praise God for that. But just because Peter didn't get there didn't mean it wasn't the will of God for Peter to get there. We don't form our theology based on what happened to Peter. We understand that ultimately Peter did have the ability to walk all the way to Jesus. And so just because a wave got him distracted doesn't mean that's our theology. But here's the phrase, and this is a phrase that Kenneth Hagin used a lot at Rhema. And it's something that really stuck with me and has helped me for years and years and years. He'd say, after he'd pray for somebody, he'd say, keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Peter had the switch of faith turned on, and when he saw the wind and the waves, he turned the switch off and he began to sink. He no longer believed in what he had asked about. Again, we've all done that too. What does keep the switch of faith turned on mean in a practical, technical, theological standpoint? It means stay in faith. Don't let the wind and the waves take you out. I'm not putting a time limit on the manifestation of what I'm believing for. Oh, if it doesn't happen like that, oh, I guess that did pass away with the last apostle. Nope. I'm not doing that at all. I'm not in my Ed House secret place determining what God can and will do in the earth today. Because he answered my prayer or didn't answer my prayer. Not at all. But right here, I'm saying I'm keeping the switch of faith turned on. This is where you begin to confess what the word says. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He bore my sicknesses. He carried my pains. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Healing is the children's bread. I am a child of God. If I ask for bread, I get bread. God loves me. He's for me. What am I doing? I'm staying in faith. I'm staying in faith. And part of my mind is getting renewed, and I'm getting stronger in faith in what I believe. And it is a process there where you get healed and you see things, but there's an overcoming. It's not because if it is just, I'm saying a prayer and then I get healed, that's really tantamount to testing God. Satan said, throw yourself off this cliff. He'll bear you up unless you dash your foot against the stone. If I'm just going to pray a prayer and did it work or didn't work, I'm playing games. No, I'm praying in faith, believing I receive according to the promises of God. That's a very different paradigm. I'm praying in faith. I believe it. I'm holding fast. One of the big pictures that comes to my heart and mind, and when you think, you know, Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry bush, be rooted up and planted in the ocean. Why does it only take a grain of mustard seed faith for supernatural things to happen? Because a switch is a very small thing. You know, when we switch on these lights here, it's not my mustard seed finger strength that causes them to light. It's the exceeding greatness of the power plant that's working toward this church. All I'm doing with my faith is I'm just flipping a little switch. It's a tiny part of the process. I know we want to make it the big part. And does stuff happen here as I'm keeping the switch of faith turned on? Yeah, there's a lot of incidental stuff that's happening as I'm growing up spiritually. But ultimately, what I'm happening is I'm keeping that switch of faith turned on. I'm turning it on. Satan might come along. Nope, turning it back on. Maybe it's turned off. And you wake up the next morning and say, well, the lights are off. I'm turning them back on. I'm just talking about walking out faith. You're going to get that switch of faith. Yep, I'm going to turn it back on. I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to keep it on. I'm going to keep it on. You're fighting for that little switch. Satan can't stop the exceeding great power that works toward you as a believer. That's done. That was done in the resurrection of Christ. It's yours. The only thing he can fight you over is your switch. Keep the switch of faith turned on. See a beautiful picture of Aaron and Hur. Moses had the arms up in the battle. As long as he could keep his arms up, the switch of faith, they would win the battle. When your arms got tired, Aaron and Hur would lift up his arms. They start winning the battle again. Really? Is there any power in Moses doing this from a military strategic standpoint? No. That was faith, wasn't it? His faith. And thank God, do you know, we can get tired in our faith sometimes too. And it's great to have friends that can gather around us and lift up our arms while we're standing. You know, I love that picture. I'll close the story and then I'm going to close this story. I was driving home. My mom had had the scans on her liver and lungs. Cancer. Invasive. She had had it in 95. In 03, it came back. There it was. I was driving home, and I was like in a fog. I knew what I believed. I knew what I believed theologically. It's my mom. And sometimes those close emotional relationships can be tricky. It doesn't change my theology because it's my mom. But I remember getting a call from my pastor, Pastor Paul Carlson, at that time. And I was going to Door of Life at the time, but he's, you know, just a good friend. And he called. And he said, hey, Ed, how's your mom doing? I know you were busy. So I told him the scans and all the stuff that we saw and the evasiveness on the liver and the lungs and spotifying and different things like that. And then all of us, you know, and then he said, hey, it's all right, Ed, let me just pray. And this is where he just began to go off and he began to pray in faith for my mom's healing, that by his stripes she was healed. He began to pray a prayer of faith. And as he was praying, my heart was just saying, yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. That is true. Even though it's my mom, it's still true. Yeah, that is true. Praise God. You know, is any sick? Let him call. Praise God. We're believing. And I just remember when he got done praying, I was like refreshed and I was in faith again because I had somebody who lifted up my hands. I knew where my hands needed to be, but thank God when you got somebody who can help you, lift them up there. And we came back, it was like 6 months later, and all the cancer that was in her liver was calcified and diminishing, and everything that was on her lungs was completely gone. And we had her for another 13 years. Praise God, or 10, 13 years. And it was amazing to just see the power of God. I saw the scans before, and I saw the scans after. And I'm so glad that I had a Pastor Paul, my Aaron and her, to come along. It's not cheating. If you're over here and you're struggling some things, and it's not cheating. You got that lame guy who had the four crazy friends that brought him through the roof of the house to get him healed? Not cheating to have some people that are going to stand in there and help you and help your faith. Praise God. We're a body. We're a body of Christ. And so find people of like precious faith that'll stand with you. Praise God. Questions about asking God. Is it okay to ask God? Let's see, was there? Okay, yeah. Is it okay to ask God? Yes. Emphatically, it is okay to ask God. In fact, it should become instinctive. After a while, like the Apostle Paul said, be anxious for nothing but in everything through prayer and supplication. Oh, I'm feeling anxious about something. Okay, Father God. Just like he's there 24/7, loves to hear us ask. What can you ask for? Find out in this precious book those exceedingly great and precious promises that belong to you. And ultimately, it's not what Pastor Ed says about healing for today or the gifts of the Spirit for today. It's about you and this word and you saying, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And you listen on the inside what he says to you. Praise God. You'll begin to find an open door of amazing things, exceedingly great and precious promises that pertain to your whole life and living godly in Christ Jesus, all covered in there. And then finally, is it okay to ask in faith? Yes, it is. It is okay to ask in faith. And again, you don't have to do this in a public way. You know, the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before the swine, okay? Being faith doesn't mean you have to be publicly loud and obnoxious. But on the inside, when it comes to the devil, you need to be publicly loud and obnoxious. This is not a you, I want. This is you as a child of God doing the will of God on the earth. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. It's serious business. Yes, I'm contending for that healing that belongs to me, for the provision that belongs to me, for freedom from lies and fear that belongs to me. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But I've been dealing with this thing over and over and over again. Lord, I'm serious about getting free from this thing. I am serious. When you get serious about things, oh, God gets very serious about things back. And he'll call you to do something, a step. A lot of times it'll just include more of the word, more of worship, more awareness, more things above, which is more faith. Faith is not a personality type. Faith is something that comes as you hear the word of God. And you find out, I want more of the word of God in my life. With meekness, you receive that engrafted word, which is able to transform you by renewing of your mind. Praise God, cause things to come to pass. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this amazing privilege as Christians to be able to ask stuff, to be able to ask in the first place. You are not squeamish about anything we could ask you for. There is nothing that's off the radar. There's nothing that we are called to keep between us and to exclude you on. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Help us to not treat you like people, but you're God and you love us. Whole new dimension of trust. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, help me to remember to ask. Whenever I get anxious, that's a signal. I need to ask. Ask for help. Ask for directions. Receive your strength, your peace that keeps my heart and mind in you until I know what I need to know. I'm an asker, Lord. I'm a child of God. You're a good father. Good and perfect gifts flow from you to your children. Thank you for letting me ask. And I ask, according to your word, for anything that pertains to life and godliness. That's fair game. You put it in your word, and I'll ask for it. And I'll ask in faith. And I'll stand in faith. And I'll hold fast my confession. I'll keep the switch of faith turned on. If that's you, Lord, bid me come. And I will walk on the water all the way into your arms and receive that which I've asked for. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.